He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Thursday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where last night was a special night for NC State basketball. All the living members of the 1983 team were back in the building. I had a chance to visit with some of them and even had the chance to catch up with Jim Valvano's wife, Pam Valvano Strasser, after NC State's win. Cool's an understatement when talking about ceremonies such as that. But as for the state team that took the floor last night, they were wearing those sweet throwback unis. They've got a special opportunity in front of them as well. Can they contend for a national championship? Probably not. Let's not forget they finished last in the ACC last year. That still feels like a big stretch to say they can compete in that tournament and advance that far to a third weekend in March. But they absolutely can win an ACC tournament title in Greensboro, and that would be more than enough. That's right in their grasp, especially when you consider what's happened in the league over the last week. Because of Clemson's loss to Louisville last weekend, the double bye is right in front of them. It's on the table for them to take. Clemson right now has that fourth double bye, and they're headed to PNC Arena in Raleigh on Saturday. State, if they win that game, they're in the driver's seat. The Pack has lost just one home game the entire year. Last night, Taquavion Smith played 7 minutes in the first half, had 3 points. Wake Forest shot 65% from the floor, yet State was still up by 6. That is special levels of offense. And there really isn't a thoroughbred in the ACC that's towering over everyone else the way that Paolo Banchero Duke team was. And even in that case, Virginia Tech knocked them off in the ACC title game. Nobody like that exists. Virginia last night lost in Chestnut Hill to Boston College.
Boston College?
They've been vulnerable. They haven't been playing well over the last few games. Miami. They've been a wagon. They've won 6 or 7 in a row. But NC State nearly beat them in Coral Gables and did beat them at PNC Arena. State's the one team in the ACC that can match Miami's guards toe for toe. Blow for blow. State's the only team that could say that. And that would be one whale of a ACC championship game if we got it in Greensboro between Miami and NC State. And just think of how cool of a story that would be if NC State won the ACC tournament in Greensboro on the 40-year anniversary of the 83 team. Will Dalton's the executive producer of this show. It'd be like a storybook movie type finish. It'd be like watching Hoosiers all over again, which you did for the first time last night.
I did.
That's what this would feel like. Do you know what year the movie Hoosiers came out?
1983 or 7?
86.
Not even.
The last time NC State won the ACC tournament was 1987. The time before that was 83. If memory serves, one was in Virginia, the other was in Atlanta. The last time NC State won the ACC tournament in Greensboro, or in the state of North Carolina for that matter, you have to go back to the 1974 team at the Coliseum, what David Thompson and them boys did. So it's been a really long time since that's happened, and this NC State team has that right in front of them. That would be an incredible story, and I don't think it's out of bounds to even say NC State might be a favorite to do so, given the home court piece of this. That's not outlandish by any means. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in on today's show. However, and wherever you were listening, we appreciate that. Or if you're watching, that's another way you can tune in to the show. YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. B-Dot's going to be in studio with us in about a half hour. Six-man of Carolina basketball. Let's go to the phones. Dave and Clemens with us. Dave, what do you have?
Whopper, whopper, whopper. Oh, hey, Josh, what's up, DJ? How are you?
DJ Burns did have himself another big night last night. He did.
Yes, sir. Let's go. Man, us State fans, I'm a huge State fan, grew up a State fan. We need this. We're desperate for a good team, Josh. There are a lot of State fans in this area, around this area, and I think this does have the chance to be a special year, just like you were saying. What wins in March? Guard play. Mm-hmm. And Jarkel Joyner and Baby T are fantastic guards on the national level. And then I also wanted to point out, I think Kevin Keats has the chance to also be a star. Josh, he's got the look. He's well-dressed. He's a good-looking dude. He reminds me a little bit of GQ J. Wright of Villanova. If he can win some ball games, he is a star that the ACC needs in the coaching realm as we lose all these older coaches like Coach K, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, guys like that. I think he has a chance to be a star in the coaching world, and I'd like to see
I like that.
On that.
I like that. Thanks for the call, Dave. I like Kevin Keats being the ACC's Jay Wright. He needs to wear a suit again, though. We need to make that happen. Shifting the conversation a little bit, though. A couple of MVP quarterbacks are in the news today. Aaron Rodgers. He's completed his darkness retreat in Oregon. Darkness! So perhaps we'll get some clarity on his future, assuming that he himself has gotten some clarity. Then there's Lamar Jackson, who seems to be in an awkward contract standoff with the Baltimore Ravens. This is according to a report by ESPN. Now, you don't have to look too far to see calls for the Panthers to inquire about Lamar. After all, they do have a GM that says, he said this all along, he's going to be in on every trade. However, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And the Panthers should not enter the Lamar sweepstakes. Now, what I'm about to say might sound harsh, but hear me out on it. There's a chance Lamar's best playing days are already behind him. Oh, but Josh! He's only 26. 26, Josh! He's entering year 6. He's 26. Didn't we just see this movie with Cam Newton a few years ago? Cam Newton, the year after the Super Bowl, that's when he started to break down. He was 26. He was going into year 6. Running quarterbacks, they have a shorter lifespan in the league. Shorter shelf life. Lamar, unlike Cam through the first 5 years, missing significant time already. And the part that's really concerning about it is, if Lamar was a free agent, sure, try to bring him in just like Derek Carr. But he's not. You have to give up at least one first-round draft pick, probably your top 10 pick, in order to get him now. And I'd be surprised if it's not another first-round attached to that. Plus, the reason he has the standoff with the Ravens is because he wants Deshaun Watson money. And when he says Deshaun Watson money, he means fully guaranteed. That's what he wants. So the injury stuff, the stage of his career, the style of play, that stuff concerns me when you talk about fully guaranteed money and also having to give up first-round draft picks in order to bring him in. The price tag simply too large. Plus, there's the football piece of this. Is it a fit? What's the most mobile quarterback Frank Reich coached? Carson Wentz? How about the guy that they just brought in to be the OC alongside with him, Thomas Brown, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. They haven't coached a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. And in order to make it work, as we saw in Baltimore, you have to completely tailor your offense to him. It just seems, given that price tag and the injury history, there are better alternatives available to Carolina than going after Lamar. Like a Derek Carr. Like a Jimmy Garoppolo. the North Carolina Tar Heels winners last night, something we'll talk about with BDOT when he joins us in a bit. Let's go to Ed in Winston-Salem, who wants in on the topic. Ed, there's no such thing as a bad loss when you've won two road games all year long. Yet I see Carolina fans who are still upset after winning at Notre Dame. Please tell me you're not one of them.
No. But that was a terrible first half. Both teams couldn't put the ball in the basket. Carolina shot 19%. And then in the second half, they shot the ball a little better, came out with some energy, and made some big defensive plays. To me, the key was Carolina shot more than double the free throws in Notre Dame, and they out-rebounded them by 16.
They kept throwing the ball inside. In the first half, they had six. It's so frustrating, Ed. They had six.
Six
points in the paint in the first half. The second half, they had 28. Armando had 12 of his 16 points in the second half. They shot 16 of 30 from the floor on two-pointers. They didn't jack up as many threes. It doesn't sound like a really complicated recipe.
No. I totally agree. And with Virginia losing, you know they're going to come in fired up. So, like I say, once again, they're going to be facing adversity again, yeah, because, you know, they need to win that game also to, you know, keep their chances alive to go into the big
net. You're telling the truth, man. Thanks for the call, Ed.
Yes, I appreciate it.
There goes Ed in Winston-Salem. WD, one more time. Who was that loss last night to?
Armando.
I think you hit the wrong drop there. Who did Virginia lose to last night, as a reminder?
Boston College.
That's what I get for being on the phone.
Just multitasking.
And trying to do a radio show.
You're very good at what you do.
I try.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham. WSJS.
Spend all your time waiting. I've overlooked the Wolfpack all season long. You might think I've learned my lesson. You would be wrong, though. The Deeks are going to spoil the party, and I can already hear the Sarah McLachlan montage now.
Burns, the twisting shot. He gave him a little shoulder and a little shimmy.
The pack seems ripe for a letdown. We are talking about NC State basketball, am I right?
We suck.
The double on Burns. Morsell, the catch and release.
This feels like the time Wake Forest finally gets the quad one road win that they need. So I think they're going to get it tonight. I think they're going to spoil the 83 celebration with a win.
And that's it. 90-74. The Wolfpack over the Deeks.
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I get that reference now.
A couple weeks ago, we were celebrating our best basketball season, or our best football season, 20 games over 500 in the picks. And now, clown emojis, clown pictures, continuing to flood my feed after last night. Connor O'Neill writes in, Hoosiers is overrated. Don't be afraid to tell Josh this.
I'm not afraid of that.
Which seems like the perfect transition into At the Movies with the WD.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars.
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine.
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
Okay, you watched Hoosiers 1986 for the first time. There was a time where when you talked about the best sports movies of all time, there was really only three choices. It was Longest Yard, the Burt Reynolds one, Hoosiers, and The Natural. I assume after last night, you've only seen one of those three movies. Fair assumption?
That's extremely fair assumption.
Okay. Well, in recent years, a lot of this due to Spike Lee's criticism of the film, a lot of people have started to turn on Hoosiers. So there's been some zigging, some zagging. I rewatched this movie too, knowing that you had to watch it as well. And I'm still in on Hoosiers, but I'd be interested to know what you liked about the movie.
So the specific scene that I really appreciated was the scene where they just get to the stadium where the title's going to be, and he has them measure the gym.
Do you know what gym that was?
I do not.
Hinkle Fieldhouse, the home of Butler. Butler basketball, they still play there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool if you play at Butler.
Oh, no doubt. That's the same gym. And then they still have the high school gym in Indiana that they haven't changed at all. And people come into the small town and they see the gym and it's a tourist location.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated that scene because it just goes to show them, like, the same gym we practice on. It's the same thing you play on every day. It doesn't matter about the stands and the stadium.
It might be the most iconic scene in the movie. Either that or the locker room speech where they're clapping and getting fired up. It's on every scoreboard since the beginning of time. Growing up going to Carolina Hurricanes games, they'd have that on the screen going into the third period. Come on! Yeah, let me hear ya! Gene Hackman is a coach. Is there a more believable coach in movie history than that guy? Because he also was the head coach of Keanu Reeves and The Replacement, too. I just believe him as a basketball coach. Like, he has the look of it, the demeanor of it. He's a tremendous actor. Maybe the most underrated actor out there. There's not... I can't think of a bad movie that he's in. Certainly not a bad performance. But very believable as a basketball coach. There's not any point where, with the language or the way he carries himself, that you're thinking, I don't know about that. I don't think that works. I don't think that's how a basketball coach would sound.
Yeah, I think you could stick him in on any team, and you would, to your point, you would believe, like, oh, that he's a coach.
Given your response to Connor's tweet, it sounds like you don't like this movie, so what didn't you like about it?
So it's not that I don't like it, because when you asked me when you came in today, hey, what'd you think? And it's all right. It just...
What didn't you like?
It's not anything specific about the movie. It's just the fact that I've come to realize when it comes to sports movies, I'm very particular.
Okay.
I love Sandlot. I love Major League.
Right.
What was the name of the movie where the guy says, place at the table? What was that?
That's The Program.
The Program.
Matt Rhule recommended that.
That's right, he did. This movie just followed the typical generic feel-good...
Well, it created it.
Oh, did it?
It created the feel-good movie.
It's like they start out as kind of some scrubs.
It set the template. This movie created the template for all the Disney movies and such that preceded it. Those came after it.
Well,
like, none of those
sense.
Movies exist. Like, name a movie before 1986 that had that template. It doesn't exist. It's like, did we ever make you watch When Harry Met Sally?
No.
Okay. So if we make you watch that movie, you're going to be like, it sounds like all the rom-coms that have come out. Well, it's because it set the template for all the rom-coms that followed it. That's why this movie's so great, because it set the template.
That makes more sense. I just think when it comes to sports movies...
All the movies ripped off Hoosiers.
I need hoodlums when it comes to sports movies. Like, you know what I mean? Like Sandlot, Major League. Like, I guess more comedic style of sports movie. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, there are times in this movie it's kind of a bummer. The way that they treat Gene Hackman. The love interest is kind of a jerk the entire movie. I don't understand why she's going to all the basketball games.
But she does.
Just sticking it in Gene Hackman's face.
Yeah.
Hey, coach, Jimmy Chitwood's not going to play for you, and I'm still going to show up at the games, and I'm not going to stand up and cheer. I'm just going to sit here reading a book, because that's what I do. Kind of a tough hang. As good of a coach character as Gene Hackman is, what I didn't like about the movie upon the 6th or 7th rewatch for me, are we sure Gene Hackman was good as a coach? Like, he's a believable coach, but is he a good coach? Like, here's the evidence. I get you're trying to send a message that I got my team out there, but four guys?
Yeah, what was
we're
that?
Gonna play with four. I think you already sent the message when you benched the guy. That's a pretty clear message. Another thought. What? Jimmy Chitwood hasn't said anything the entire movie. He has to speak up in that spot to say, coach, maybe it's best that I get the last shot. I'm making every shot in this championship game. I'm the best player in the state. We're not drawing up a play for me at the end of the championship game. Coach, what are we doing?
Caleb Love would speak up.
He may or may not have assaulted or pushed a player at the collegiate level his college job.
His tactics were very old school.
He gave the team to a drunkard. Just throwing it out there, laying out the case that Gene Hackman might not be the greatest coach. What's your favorite quote from Hoosiers?
My favorite quote is just going to be the whole David and Goliath speech before the game. But also, at the very beginning of the movie, the former coach, I don't remember specifically word for word, but he just had a way of making things sound very inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
When talking about the ball going in the hoop.
Oh, yeah.
that caught me right away. So,
Jimmy Chitwood had either three or four lines the entire movie. I've got something to say. I don't know if this will change anything, but coach stays, I play. He goes, I go. That's the best quote, in my opinion. Excellent movie.
I gotta rate it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How would you rate Hoosiers? What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes score is?
86. I feel like that's kind of low.
88.
Look at that.
Boom. And that's been At the Movies with the WD. B-Dot just texted me. Apparently, some traffic outside that he's trying to maneuver through. Dot.
Hey, Dot.
Be safe, my friend.
What's up?
Looking outside, traffic doesn't look too great, or the weather, I should say. I can't see traffic from my studio here.
You can't.
We do. We have weather reports. We got news reports. I don't think we've got weather. Looking at I-40 right now.
A little traffic there.
We probably need Dot to help recommend a movie for next week.
Has he ever given me a movie to watch before?
Don't think so. So perhaps we can have him do that when he gets in here, and we'll play grammar school and all that.
All right, I think all the levels are set.
Showtime.
Now?
Right now.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
While I'm thinking about it, B-Dot's in studio with us. WD watched Hoosiers for the first time last night. We need another movie for WD to watch next week. We don't think that you've ever suggested a movie, so let's approach it this way. What are some of your favorite movies of all time? Like, this movie's on, I'm watching the final 30 minutes of it. The final 45.
The Little Mermaid, Scarface,
mm-hmm.
Glory.
Wow, these are movies I think WD's all seen.
I've seen all three.
He's three for three. That's amazing. I can't think of anybody who could ever go three for three in movies that WD's seen.
Wait, Braveheart.
That's amazing. He hasn't seen Braveheart.
It's like a Mel Gibson in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shawshank Redemption.
He's seen Shawshank. I think he's seen all these movies.
I haven't seen Braveheart.
You should watch Braveheart. I wonder, would you get emotional on Braveheart? Braveheart made me. It still makes me emotional. Because they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. And then they go to war. God almighty.
We made him watch Training Day and John Q because of the recommendation from Steve Wilkes.
Has he seen Set It Off?
Yes. Wait a minute. Who's that got in it?
That's Queen the girl Latifah. Chicks with Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett.
I love that movie. So
see,
good.
He's seen that and he's seen Juice. So he's actually in on some of the cookout movies, we can call them.
Have you? That was a great way to describe those.
Can I come?
Absolutely. Have you seen Casino?
No.
He doesn't even know what Casino is.
I've seen Casino a couple times, not enough to, like, I would have to watch it again, too. But, like, Casino is in that same vein as...
It's the sequel to Goodfellas, essentially. Yeah, it's not an official
sequel,
but it's De Niro and Joe Pesci in a mob movie.
Have you ever seen Sleepers?
No.
I haven't seen Sleepers. What's Sleepers?
Oh, my gosh. Sleepers was so vicious. These four boys in the Bronx, they get in trouble for daggone stealing a sausage cart, and it goes down in the subway down the steps, and it kills a man. So they end up having to go to jail for it, but they're juveniles. And while they're in jail, Kevin Bacon is one of the daggone security guards. And the things that they put these four kids through, like with the molestation and just ridiculousness, it's like horrible. So when
Sounds
they get
dark.
Oh, it's super dark. When they get older, though, they come back so badass, and they find Kevin Bacon, them man, and that show gets super turned up.
We need some more movie recommendations. Do we have Wake Forest tickets to bribe people with?
We do.
Okay.
Sleepers was great. You ever seen Tombstone?
Wake Forest. Yeah, we made him watch Tombstone a month ago.
Oh, yeah, with Doc Holliday. Yeah. Great.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah, I'll be your Huckleberry. God, that's a great one.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a suggestion and we deem it good enough in order to make WD watch it, we'll give you tickets to Wake Forest Notre Dame on Saturday. 336-777-1600 if you'd like to go to that.
Have you ever seen Life?
I haven't seen Life. No.
Y'all haven't seen Life with Martin and Eddie Murphy?
No.
When they go to jail in the 60s, man, for bootlegging? Yo, that's what both of you all should watch. The movie Life is hilarious. That's another cookout movie, gang.
Life. But I feel such a responsibility, Dot, to find movies that are absolute bona fide, everybody has seen it, classics.
Right.
Has not seen.
But there are urban movies. Like you said, when you talk about cookout movies, like those are certain movies that like...
Hold one second.
Okay.
Have you seen Friday?
Is that... No.
See? Gotta see Friday. That's it.
I've seen Wednesday.
Friday might be the movie, depending on what this next caller has
to
say.
Have you seen Any Given Sunday? It's a lot of day movies.
Wow! Any Given Sunday?
But he's just watched a sports movie.
See, that's true.
I think
he doesn't
go
know
Friday.
Who Steaming Willie Beeman is.
He doesn't know who's he's the ladies. Keep him screaming. Gosh.
I'm going to watch that.
That was off the chains.
I think a front runner for it right now has to be Friday. The fact he doesn't know who Debo is.
Oh, my gosh. The fact you don't know who Debo is, bro.
That's it.
You don't even know where Bob Felicia came from.
No, I don't know where that came from.
That's crazy.
I think in terms of cultural cultural impact,
yeah.
I think that might have to be the movie.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen Friday?
That's crazy.
Isn't that the top cookout movie?
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. Legit.
Like, you're not invited to the cookout if you haven't seen Friday. That should be the question they ask people like me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. That's a cookout question. Like, it's up there. Menace of Society will be up there. Coming to America will be up there. But Friday, as far as comedies, no doubt about it.
Let's get to Steve Forbes. Not verbatim. You tell us what Steve Forbes is actually meaning when he talks about his concerns with the net after the loss to NC State last night.
Steve, you're on pace for another 20-win season, another winning season in ACC play, but it doesn't look like you're going to get a quad one this year.
What's... Why not? I mean, Duke didn't count. Did they lose? Because we got a quad one for Duke. Did we have a quad one for Duke today? Then we get one for, if we get one for Wisconsin. I mean, I got a couple quad one wins, like, because the quad one is so stupid that we're sitting here, Duke at 32 or something, and Wisconsin at 78. Well, go win at Wisconsin. Good luck. All right? You're right. I mean, we haven't won the right games to get in the tournament, that's what you're asking me. And I don't disagree with that one, Iota. But I'll say this again, and I said it to my man Joe back there yesterday. I don't believe in a metric where you win and you go down six and the team that you beat goes up more than you do. How is that possible? And I'm not saying that we deserve to be in the tournament. I'm not, because we don't. But that's a bad metric. And my livelihood depends on it, and so does Kevin's.
That quad formula is stupid. Look at that. How you beat a team and the team you beat end up looking better than you in the metrics. Metrics. We out here dropping dubs on folk. Check the tape. What we do to Duke? Dub. Wait, what happened when the Tar Heels came down? Dub. Wait, you played in Wisconsin? Have you ever been to Wisconsin? Ain't nothing in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
A mansion out there in Wisconsin. With T-Pain, but that's neither here nor there.
Yay!
Shut up. What we do is get dubs, but we don't get the right dub, so we're not going to see the tourney.
Yeah, Steve Forbes is right. It's stupid. We don't get it. No
hashtag
one gets
not
it.
Verbatim.
Okay. One more on the subject of the net.
So what's the solution to that?
I don't get paid for that. I get paid to coach to win by one, not the spread.
Josh, why do you have them damn glasses on if you can't see that I don't get paid to answer those questions? I don't know how to fix it. I just know it's broken and it's stupid. My job is to get dubs. What happened when Duke? What happened to Duke? Dub? What happened when the Tar Heels came down? Dub? You ever been to Wisconsin? You ever been out there? Ain't nothing in Wisconsin but a mansion with T-Pain.
One more clip from Steve Forbes. This is Steve Forbes. We'll see who this shot you interpret this as being pointed towards, but he had some thoughts about ACC coaches sticking together.
Maybe we need to do a better job of talking about our league as coaches. I think we should all be supporting each other. I'm so happy for Kevin. And he turned the state. He had a hard. He came in here and won last year. And we got him at our place. But he came in and swept us. And I know he was feeling some heat. He's doing a hell of a job. Just like John Shire is doing a hell of a job following a legend. It'd be like following John Wooden. Would you want to do that? Gene Bartow lasted 2 years doing that. And then he went to UAB and started a program. But it can't be me, and it can't be Mike Young, so it's got to be some of these other guys that, you know, have accomplished a lot in this league. I'm just trying to get our program back to being competitive and respectful.
Hey, we're just trying to get folks to respect Wake out here. But I'm a team player. You dig what I'm saying to you? Like, the coaches, we all got to stick together. Like, Coach Keats, I know you was on the hot seat. Didn't even have no pockets on your pants, how hot that seat was. But you're doing a damn good job over there, bro. No cap. John Shire over there coming after Coach K. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine performing after Michael Jackson? No. That what John Shire got to do? And you're doing a damn good job, my boy. But that punk-ass Boeheim... You tell him when I see him in the streets, it's on, straight like that. When I see punk-ass Boeheim, P-A-B, Pab, that's what we call him in Wake Forest, P-A-B, punk-ass Boeheim. And when I see him, it's smoke in the city. Now put that in your crack and sniff it.
Not verbatim.
Hashtag not verbatim. Hashtag Coach Forbes did not say that.
I just got scared.
That's just what I interpreted.
You're good.
Running around and hiding behind this chair.
Yeah, what was the chair going to protect you from?
I was scared of Steve Forbes. That's who I was scared of right there. Just telling us how it is real quickly.
Real fast.
Hey, ACC coaches, they probably do need the... it's easy to just point the finger at Boeheim, but Tony Bennett, where you be? You're supposed to be... You're the other national championship winning coach. Coach K, he would always stand up for the league and speak out and be out there. I don't see Tony Bennett doing that.
So for clarity, Coach Forbes is saying that they should stick together in the fact that the quad system is flawed. Is that what he's saying
he's
stick together about?
He's saying
is there anything particular he's saying he wants them to stick together about?
Those are
right
separate
now?
Issues.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
the
what
net,
I'm saying. Like,
the net is an issue.
Right.
But also coaches sniping at each other is one thing, and maybe we shouldn't be calling for people on television to speak out in defense of the league. Maybe the coaches can do that. Just a thought. We got grammar school to do.
Let's do it.
BDOT will take me to grammar school. We decided that Friday's the movie, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah
he needs to watch Friday next week, so we're going to make that happen.
Friday.
Grammar school, next on The Drive. The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS. On to the main event. No, it's not Doug Gottlieb who's going to join us from LA later on in the show. It's BDOT, six-man of Tar Heel basketball, set to play grammar school.
What's happening?
With us, and I've got to ask for forgiveness, Dot, because last night I'm in the NC State locker room. I've got my microphone out, and I am trying to come up with a question, and all I'm thinking of is, what was the word? What was the expression that Dot gave me last week? I don't have my notepad on me. I don't have it. What was it? I couldn't come up. WD remembered it was 10 toes down. I did not.
Of course.
So I need to run it back. I need to run it back and
so you
get
don't
that
have
10 done.
Toes down is what you're saying.
I don't have 10 toes down, but it's not because I didn't try. It's because I didn't remember what it was. And it wasn't even that I forgot about the bit. I remembered the bit, but just couldn't remember the word. So now I've got my iPhone here, and I'm going to have it written down
moving forward.
10 toes down.
Luckily for you, because he is a great, phenomenal producer, I already knew that you had not done 10 toes down. And I had already moved it to this week.
Thank you.
I'm on the ball.
Appreciate that. Let's get into grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time.
Yeah, you are, brother.
For B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Heritage.
When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Heritage Hardwood Floor. That's a 5-yard penalty.
False start.
He just loves them so much.
I do, man. Like, I feel like they have given energy to my WSSU Rams, although the ladies lost earlier today to a very good Shaw team.
They wouldn't have lost if they were playing on Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Impossible.
In Baltimore, a little bit more difficult.
Yes, but if you have a home, business, event center, church, gym floor that you need redone, you can holler at my folks, Jesse and Catherine, over there at Heritage Hardwood Floors. Their tagline says it all, folks. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
All right, here's a Caucastic question for you. We made him watch Hoosiers last night.
I've never seen the movie.
Tight.
You can't tell me the name of the actor that stars in Hoosiers? He is a famous, super famous actor.
Yep.
That's what I got written down.
Yeah, he's a white guy.
No kidding. Everyone in the movie's white.
Yeah, but
except for the team that they beat at the end.
Yeah. Black History Month, baby. Let's go. Gosh. You just pulled it up. What was his name? I know his face.
I got other movies. He's in the Clint Eastwood Western Unforgiven.
I'm so angry.
He's in the French Connect. You probably know him best for Enemy of the State. He was great with Will Smith
in Enemy of the State. Yeah. Great.
He always plays Crimson Tide.
Oh, Crimson Tide. That was the guy with Sean Connery, too, wasn't it? Sean Connery?
No. That's Hunt for Red October.
You're right. Gosh. It's not Vaughn. It's not that name. It's not him. It's freaking...
The Firm, too. He's in The Firm.
He's got that little mustache and a freaking... He got the ball head up top, but
behind
the
enemy
the
lines with Owen Wilson.
God,
the Replacements coach. The coach in The Replacements.
This is not fair. I know the answer to this. I know this, WD. Listen, I'm telling you right now.
I'm telling you all of his movies.
Listen, WD, I'm telling you right now. Uh-huh. I'm going to get this wrong. But I know the answer to this.
See, that's how I felt about Dom Capers a couple weeks ago.
I'm so angry.
Don't feel bad. I just watched it and I don't even remember his name.
It's right on the tip of my freaking tongue.
I know.
Man. It's Gene Hackman.
It is Gene freaking Hackman.
See?
I knew that.
Well, you don't get credit for not
all right.
saying it.
Say less.
Oh, boy.
No,
here we
say
go.
Less. Scrub. Here we go. Name one member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
The RZA.
Gosh.
ODB.
Oh, he's got another one. Give him another point.
You got to diversify your bonds.
And what's crazy is I was going to say two because I thought you immediately would have said Method Man, which would have been out. But you gave me two other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Respect to you, my boy.
No doubt. Method Man, he's been in a number of movies, too.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty good actor, Method Man.
All right. For those that are just catching on, this is Grammar School. I have three words or phrases. Or trivia questions, as you just heard, that I asked Josh Graham about the urban vernacular or the urban demographic, and just to see how hip he is and how hip he can be in these locker rooms with different athletes. So he's got 1 point already.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, what's scratch?
Scratch? I think I know this. Scratch. Got some scratch. I think it's cash.
I would also like to say that last week, Josh Graham went 3 for 3.
I'm trying to go 3 for 3 right now. I think scratch is another word for Skrilla, which is another word for that cash.
gosh, you were so close on just being cool until you said Cash. Cash really blew it for you. However, you're 100% correct that Scratch is money. 100%. You said Scratch is Skrilla, which is, and then you said Cash, which is destroyed it. Should have said the coin or that dinero and pesos.
Token.
That guap.
I like Skrilla. I walk around saying that sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
How did you know Scratch?
You want the honest answer?
100%.
I used to listen to, back in the day when it was a radio show like a dozen years ago, SVP and Russillo, and they had a segment called Who Made More Skrilla? And they then would substitute Scratch in there sometimes.
Mm.
They had like the big, you know, pronounced voice say, Who made more Skrilla? Who's the guy? Joe Johnson or Shaquille O'Neal? And the answer would be Joe Johnson because players make a lot more today than they did back then.
Right. I like
it. Fun game we should bring back.
Have you ever seen Slumdog Millionaire?
Oh, love that movie.
That's what this was.
I'm sure WD's seen it too.
Have you seen Slumdog Millionaire, WD?
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you go run to?
It's like that. That's how he just got the answer to that. It's like you see things through life and you have no clue why they're registering. And then one day you're playing Jeopardy and you win $1 million on Slumdog Millionaire. Final word for you, Josh. Actually, it's another trivia question. On The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, name three characters.
Oh, I like this question.
Will.
That's fair.
Carlton, Uncle Phil.
Good job, Josh Graham.
Dude, I watched that show. See, I
look at, hey, you should see his chest poked out, y'all. He's so happy today for going 3-3.
I was
three
trying to be, you know.
You tried to go difficult since you knew the three off the rip. You're like, I'm gonna go.
I was gonna try. It's like when
Ashley,
you're dating somebody,
Jeffrey,
and you want to ask this girl out on a date, or she agrees to go on a date with you. Yeah, I can hang out with you later tonight if you want to. And you want to like wait a second before acting uncool. And be like, yes, please. Like 7 o'clock. Okay. When do I pick you up? Right. That was my reaction where it's like, I know the answer to this, but I want to play it cool enough that I don't seem like Uncle Phil, Will, and Tarleton.
Good job, Josh Graham.
Yeah, we went 3-3 no help.
No assistance.
None.
No lifeline.
I don't think I've ever done that before.
No WD. No nothing.
I don't think I've ever done that before. I don't think I've ever gone 3-3 without any help.
You did good today, good brother.
Yeah!
Yeah, you should be excited about that.
I am excited.
You should, Josh Graham.
On the way out, because I blew right through that, and it went a lot quicker than I thought it would.
That's what she said.
It's the end of Black History Month.
It is.
And you've been working so hard on so many different things. What do you got to promote for people?
Wrapping up, I didn't know, maybe you didn't either, for Black History Month. Make sure you check that out on
so many of those, man.
Yeah. Like I did 28 for last year, and then I finished up 28 for this year.
That's so great.
So what's that got to say? 56?
Do you got a favorite one of those? Like give me an example of one that
Uncle
might,
Tom
might
is my
people.
Favorite one, man. Like
what about Uncle Tom?
Well, a lot of times when black people use Uncle Tom, they're using it as a disrespectful term to a black person. Like they're saying that black person is an Uncle Tom. He's trying to be white.
Like Samuel L. Jackson in Django. That's
correct.
An Uncle Tom.
Right. But the reality is that's not who Uncle Tom was. So when black people use that term to discredit a black person, they're using it incorrect as hell. See, it's a book called Uncle Tom's Cabin. And in that book, there was a black man who was a Samuel L. Jackson character, a house slave. And he actually, it was two enslaved women. I try to say enslaved versus slave because they didn't choose it themselves.
Sure.
They were enslaved. So two enslaved women escaped. And Uncle Tom didn't tell the masters where they escaped to. So he actually was beaten and lost his life to save two enslaved black people. But when it was adapted to minstrel shows, the white people of that time didn't want to show a black person with that much power that would give up their life for other black people. So they sort of adapted him into a Sambo type character, which is really what people are referring to when they're trying to say Uncle Tom. They're really meaning Sambo. But because of through history and just through time, that Uncle Tom character
has
been
displaced.
So it's just
the minstrel shows that people are
referencing.
They're referencing the caricature from the minstrel show
versus the original character from Uncle Tom's Cabin.
It's like, to make it a hard left turn, it's like when people do Harry Carey impressions. Really, you're just doing Will Ferrell's impression of Harry Carey. You don't sound a thing like Harry Carey at all. It's like, well, that doesn't sound like Harry Carey. You're just doing Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey. That's kind of what the impression is. Anyway.
Good job, Josh. Way to bring it home. Thanks.
Did I just say that Will Ferrell's an Uncle Tom?
I don't know what you just said.
I don't
said,
think I just did that.
But
I hope
somebody
not.
Understood.
Someone's going to be offended. All right, B-Dot. Appreciate you being in here, buddy.
Hey, if I didn't offend, then I wasn't present.
That's B-Dot. Six-man Carolina basketball.